Pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Holy Spirit, work through your words and my words and continually encourage us in the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Has anyone ever oversold something to you? Could be you're looking at buying a little Chevy Cruze or Ford Focus or Fiesta. Do they even make those anymore? And the salesperson says, hey, it'll do 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds, leather seats, turbo engine, coffee maker, fridge, you know, 50-inch TV, even a gas grill for grilling hamburgers. Or maybe a friend says, you got to see this movie. It's the best movie ever. You have to see it. And then turns out it's like Snakes on a Plane or Children of the Corn 4. Have you ever felt like you've been oversold on something? It's maybe not the right word here, but I think people sometimes do something similar when they talk about the Christian faith. And people can say things like, oh, just believe in Jesus and all your problems will go away. Just have a little more faith in God and everything will be better. Being a Christian makes life go smoothly, irons out all the wrinkles. Just believe in Jesus and everything will make sense. All your questions will be answered. All your problems solved. You know, easy does it, right? Wrong, right? Yeah, that's not the case at all. Following Jesus, and he himself says, does not guarantee life to be a breeze. In fact, promises the opposite. And that's why it's so helpful to see in this reading today, Jesus was tempted. Not once, not twice, three different times. Jesus, fully God, the most in tune to the Spirit person ever to live, and fully, absolutely human, tempted by the devil. And so in our lives, trusting in Jesus will not suddenly make life easier. It might actually make life more difficult. It'll make life more full, more deep, more meaningful, but not easier. And here when we talk about the temptation of Jesus, it does mean we are talking about the enemy of God, the devil, who's not really very popular to talk about today, but it's still very, very real. And so what I want to read for you is a quote from a book called Waking the Dead by John Eldridge. I really like this quote. He talks about this. He says, you have an enemy, and he's trying to steal your freedom, kill your heart, and destroy your life. Then he goes on to say, Little Red Riding Hood is attacked by a wolf. Dorothy must face and bring down the Wicked Witch of the West. Here's my favorite part. Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan Kenobi go hand-to-hand against Darth Maul. Frodo is hunted by the Black Riders. Beowulf kills the monster Grendel, then has to battle Grendel's mother. The children who stumbled into Narnia are called upon by Aslan to battle the White Witch so that Narnia might be free. Every story has a villain because yours does too. Then he goes on. To live in ignorance about spiritual warfare is one of the most dangerous and naive things we could do. It's kind of like, he says, skipping through the worst part of town late at night, waving your wallet above your head. It's like walking into an Al-Qaeda training camp wearing an I Love the USA t-shirt. It's like swimming with great white sharks dressed up as a wounded sea lion smeared in blood. He says, I'll tell you something, he finishes, you don't escape temptation simply because you ignore it or refuse to acknowledge it. So in Matthew 4, we just read, Jesus is led by the Spirit, it says, into the wilderness and tempted by the devil after fasting for 40 days. But right before this, right before maybe hardest part of his early ministry, right before that is this huge highlight. Jesus is baptized. Not that he needs to be, but it's this moment of his mission's beginning, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all present. The Spirit descends as a dove. The voice from the Father booms, this is my Son, this is the one, listen to him. This huge moment, call it huge spiritual high, and then he's immediately led out to the desert to be tempted. You see, baptism and temptation are next to each other. So if you feel like you're being tempted, think, oh, it's because I'm baptized. It's not because anything's wrong with me or anything. It's because I'm in Christ. You see, temptation follows baptism. Jesus goes from the mountain to the valley. He goes from baptism into the temptation battle. He goes from his strength immediately to his weakness. He goes from the Jordan River waters out to the parched desert. He goes from spiritual high immediately to greatest temptation. And I think if we're honest, our lives do that too, don't they? Just when you thought you were past that, you aren't. Just when you have a real energizing faith experience and you're excited, and then only a few days later you say, oh, it's all gone, and you find yourself tempted and sinning in ways you didn't think possible. Baptism in God's name, yes, leads to battle. The mountain leads to the valley. And here Jesus is in the desert valley, and he's tempted not once, not twice, but three times. And I know there's a number of ways you can look at this. The first temptation I'll call is about success. I found three S words that fit pretty well. The first temptation is for success. The devil says, if you're the Son of God, hey, you're hungry, turn these stones to some bread. Do me a little trick. You haven't eaten in a while, make some food, have some success here. And the devil attacks Jesus where he is weak. He's hungry. Now, many Jewish readers of Matthew would also note an Old Testament thing going on here. The Israelites were in the desert for 40 years. Jesus was in the desert 40 days. They ate manna in the desert, the bread that God made come on the ground each and every day. And they all expected that when the Messiah was to come, he was going to recreate this miracle. Here's the devil giving it on a silver platter. Go ahead, show us you're the Messiah, recreate this miracle, and feed yourself. Make it all a real clear-cut success right here. And yet, were the Israelites faithful to God in the desert? No. Did they trust God when he said, trust me? No. Did they follow other gods? Yes. And everywhere that the Israelites were not faithful, Jesus was. Where they trusted other gods, where they disobeyed, Jesus was faithful. And the good news for you and for me is that Jesus was faithful in his temptation here, and he gives every bit of his faithfulness to you. So that's the first one. The second temptation is sensationalism. So while the first temptation, success, deals with Jesus' weakness, he's hungry, the second one actually attacks his strength, the Word of God, his relationship to the Father. You see, Jesus' life is like one continual conversation, ongoing prayer with the Father. That's why he's always trying to get away and go pray, and people are looking for him. His life is one continual prayer, and the devil attacks it. He takes him to the top of the temple and says, oh, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself off. Doesn't the Bible say in Psalm 91 that the angels, they'll protect you? You're the Holy One, prove it. That's a form of sensationalism. Prove your faith to me. Show it. Super holiness. And we get tempted by that too. Sometimes people say things like, well, you're a Christian. Shouldn't you do a little more of this than a little less of that? You're a Christian. Shouldn't you show it a little more? Or the temptation, if you are, to say, oh, look how good my family is. Look how much I serve the poor, or feed the homeless, or make sure at work that everyone knows without a doubt that you go to church. And again, where you and I fail at this, Jesus was faithful. Where you and I give in to temptation to either prove your faith by being showy or something, Jesus was humbly faithful all the way to the cross, and Jesus gives you his faithfulness. So the first temptation, success, attacks his weakness. Second, sensationalism attacks his strength. The third is a bit of a mouthful, superficial solutions. You see, the devil takes Jesus even higher than to the highest mountain and looks all over the whole land and says, all of these kingdoms, I'll give everything to you. Just bow to me. That's it. One easy solution to have it all. Except there's a problem, right? It doesn't work that way. The devil doesn't actually own any of that stuff. Jesus does. So he's offering him a superficial solution. It doesn't work. He was offering Jesus a crown without the cross. He was offering him the glory without the gore that he would endure. With just one little bow, he was trying to offer Jesus a way to avoid the whipping, the beatings, the torture, the rejection, the crucifixion. It was a solution, but it was fake. It was easy. It was superficial, and it would not make any lasting impact. Well, I'm honest with myself, and maybe you are too. I think we are tempted to take easy answers sometimes. We want a quick fix to something going on, but they don't deliver. We want the easy way out. We want the easy choice, not the hard one. But quick fixes don't really deliver. And here again, where we have not been faithful, Jesus was. Where you and I have sought or taken the easy way out, Jesus did not. Jesus walked the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, all the way to the cross for you. And where, again, you and I have not been faithful, Jesus was, and by faith, Jesus gives you his faithfulness. So every single one of these temptations here, success, sensationalism, superficial solution, add your list, all the things that you've struggled with throughout your life, all your temptations, where you have failed and I have failed, Jesus was faithful every single time in every single one of them. And Jesus gives his faithfulness to you. In all the ways you and I fall short of the glory of God, Jesus did not. He lived perfectly, especially when tempted, and he gives that all to you. Now, that's not overselling. That's simply the gospel. And so may the peace of God that passes all our understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.